You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome into a Locked On Balls Hoover edition live from the SEC Media Days. It's not live, but you know what I'm saying. It's Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and today's episode, it's brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Vols sent you. So today, it is a jam-packed show of programming. Not even going to get to the alternate Monday Night Football programming headlined by Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. We'll get to that later in the week, but it was day one of SEC Media Days on Monday. Segment number one to give you the highlights, some of the things you might have missed, some of the highlights, all that and more in segment number one for what was LSU, Florida, and South Carolina's spots in front of the microphone. That's coming up in segment number one. In segment number two, Chris Gordy of Sports 790 and host of Locked On SEC will join the show, give his takeaways from day one and what's to come for day two, as well as the rest of the week. That's coming up in segment number two. And in segment number three, I teased it on Twitter. Twitter Tuesday returns. I will get to a few of y'all's questions in segment number three. All that and more here on a Locked On Vols Tuesday edition here at SEC Media Day. So, guys, again, we're back to 5 days a week, in case you forgot, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols, very interactive on Twitter, so please, please, please engage me, and don't forget to get your questions in for next week's Twitter Tuesday. But down here in Hoover, and got here Monday morning, I guess it would have been about 11:30 Eastern time, and immediately when I got in, got checked in, saw where we were on Radio Row, went up and listened to Commissioner Greg Sankey speak. His big thing, he was pushing COVID-19 vaccinations. We've talked about it on this podcast before. You guys know I'm very open. I don't talk politics. I try to be as, not as secretive, but I try to be as reserved as I can. But in this podcast, I've said it many, many times, it kind of says weird to say it out loud, but a podcast is an intimate setting, and I like to be open with you guys. Long way of getting around to saying, you guys know my stance on this. I am a vaccinated individual, but I wholeheartedly believe it is up to the person. It's the person's individual choice, whether you want to take the vaccine or whether you do not want to take the vaccine. If you do it, great. If you don't, great. It's your choice. I love you regardless, or I hate you regardless, one of the two. But when we're talking vaccinations in sports, you can't tell me you don't have a competitive advantage nowadays if your team is unvaccinated, all right? Because what happens if it happens like NC State in the College World Series? What if you get a game postponed like the Yankees and Red Sox did a couple of weeks ago, okay? Or last weekend, rather. What if you have to, you know, what if you can't play on a given Saturday during the football season? You're seeing some of these COVID-19 rates will rise in certain parts of the country again, certain parts of the region, certain parts of the world. And, you know, wherever you are in this whole COVID thing, if you listen to this podcast, you love sports and you want to see your favorite sports team play. Okay, so all that to say, if you are a college student athlete, you're being pushed, you're not pressured, but you're being motivated to get the COVID-19 vaccination if you have not yet, because if so, you don't get tested, okay? And therefore, it's a less likely chance that your game will be put on pause or whatever. Commissioner Greg Sankey came out on Monday, and the big thing of his talking points was to say that 6 of the 14 teams have reached the 80% threshold for vaccination amongst the team. So, 6 of the 14 teams in the SEC have 80% of their roster vaccinated. He said that number has got to come up. There's got to be more than 6. That's less than 50% of the league. He was pushing home and saying, we've got to improve that. We've got to improve that. Because he also went on and said, hey, we're not changing the schedule this year, okay? We're just not doing that. We didn't build the schedule to do that this year. There's still roster minimums in place, meaning you can't play a game unless you have, 7 offensive linemen. You can't play a game unless you have, 2 quarterbacks, stuff like that. But he said that might not be the case for long, meaning you're either going to have to forfeit or you're either going to have to play. And so, you know, that's not the case just yet, like you're seeing in some other conferences. But Greg Sankey kind of led us on to, you know, that's what's going to happen here pretty soon. So that was the big takeaway from Commissioner Greg Sankey today. He talked a little bit on name, image, and likeness. He talked a lot about just how far we come as a society and as fans and how we're so glad to be back in Hoover, yada, yada, yada. That was Sankey. You got Florida that took the podium first. You had Dan Mullen get up there. He asked somebody asking about Georgia being a contender in the East, and he said, well, wasn't that the case for them last year and the year before last as well? So already shots fired. You got to love it. Was asked about Josh Heupel. He said, hey, I've never coached against Josh Heupel, but he coaches an exciting brand of football. I'm really excited to coach against him. I think Tennessee fans are going to like that brand of football. So that was asked about Josh Heupel. Ed Orgeron gets up there. He's asked about a quarterback competition and how it's going to be going out through camp and all that stuff. Really just a lot of nothing this morning. But then Shane Beamer comes up there, and you guys know my thoughts on South Carolina. I think Tennessee is going to beat South Carolina. I think South Carolina is not a very good football team. I'm really curious as to why South Carolina made the hire for Shane Beamer, all that. I'm not trying to hate on South Carolina. I just like being open and honest with you guys. And yes, he's a coach's kid. He's been around football his entire life. But hey, maybe I'm living in the moment. I was impressed with Shane Beamer today. I was. I mean, I really was. He owned the room when he was in there. He did. He owned the room. He said what you wanted him to say. He talked about great about his coaching staff. He gave a nonchalant recruiting pitch to the top tight end of the nation, who South Carolina is very much in on. he talked about being a coach's kid and all that type of stuff. I mean, he was very well versed. He even said, "Hey, I was watching SEC. Good Morning SEC or whatever that show is on SEC this morning." And I mean, he's playing it up for the SEC Network. I mean, he was playing the room. I walked away really, really impressed with Shane Beamer. Of course, you know, you got to win some football games, but I think what I'm feeling right now is what a lot of parents are feeling as well, because he's been super hot on the recruiting trail. Talked about that a little bit. South Carolina's got 12 commits since June the 1st, a couple of those at the expense of Tennessee. So with South Carolina, I was impressed with Shane Beamer. I was, but you know, does it mean a lick of anything in mid-June at SEC Media Days? No, it doesn't. But you know, for what it was, I thought Dan Mullen was boring. I thought Ed Orgeron was boring. I saw that one comment from Mullen, and then I thought Shane Beamer was impressive. So I had a one-on-one interview with Nick Muse, the tight end from South Carolina. I had a one-on-one interview with All-American defensive back Derek Stingley Jr. All those you can check out at _Caner and at 991thesportsanimal.com. Loads and loads and loads of content up on that website. We'll be getting it all throughout the week, and looking forward to tomorrow. Tennessee will take to the podium. I'll have tons of audio from Tennessee on this podcast as well. So really, really looking forward to that. All right, so Tennessee tomorrow. Josh Heupel, you've got Alante Taylor, you've got Velus Jones Jr. What will they do? What will they say? Are you looking for anything in particular? Is this kind of like, let me just check it off the box. Okay, SEC Media Day is done. We're that much closer to football time in Tennessee. What are you looking for in the trio tomorrow? I think a lot of offense. I think a lot of quarterbacks. I think a lot of Josh Heupel about his time at Oklahoma, about his time at UCF. I think a lot of that will kind of control the conversation. Maybe even NIL, because Velus Jones Jr. does own his own YouTube channel. So looking forward to all of that, and that will be tomorrow. Again, _Caner on Twitter. If you're an early riser, if you're part of the Early Rising Club, 7:30 Eastern time, I'll be doing a hit on The Sports Animal with, of course, the morning show that I'm a part of, the starting lineup. I will do a hit at 10:05 on the Eric Ains Show, and looking forward to all that. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in. And again, we'll have big-time coverage of Tennessee reviewing what they did, what they said at SEC Media Days. That's coming up on tomorrow's podcast. Okay, so we will get into Chris Gordy of Sports 790 and host of Locked On SEC coming up in segment number two. But first, Bet Online. Fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it is on into the second half, and you can track all the long balls at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info from all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC. Before the next pitch, I want you to head on over to Bet Online on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and the contest information. I don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game and put some coin in your pocket as these teams are prepping for their playoffs run. NBA Finals returning this week. Is Phoenix really going to blow it up 2-0? Are they going to blow it now down 3-2? we will have to see. You can head on over to the website and sign up for the 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using the promo code Locked On and put in on that action. That's Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit to bet on the NBA Finals or anything else that you choose. Bet online. It's your online sportsbook experts. Back here on Locked On Vols, segment number two of a Tuesday show, and pleased to bring on to the podcast the host of Locked On SEC, yes, from Sports 790. That is Chris Gordy, and he's kind of been here keeping his eyes on every SEC team, of course, South Carolina, as well as Florida and LSU went on Monday. But Chris, big takeaways, man, from day one of SEC Media Days.
I think the very first thing Dan Mullen was asked, you know, they said, does it seem like it's kind of going to come down to you and Georgia again? And he said something to the effect of, yeah, they said that last year. And I'm like, Dan, do you really want to be writing those checks that you can't cash? I mean, everybody and their brothers picked Georgia to finish ahead of Florida again this year. Now, that said, Emory Jones could go out there, surprise us, you know, throw the ball all over the field like Kyle Trask last year. But, you know, I think just everybody expects Florida's going to take a little bit of a step back this year. But, man, that stood out to me because it was like, are you really saying this on day one, like meeting one of the SEC media days? So, yeah, Dan Mullen there, Coach O obviously talking about all the coaching changes and LSU kind of trying to prove last year was a fluke. And then, of course, Shane Beamer, it's funny to see, man. People are excited about him. He's recruiting well already at South Carolina. Can he translate it to wins? That's going to be the tough part because he can be a heck of a nice guy, a heck of a coach, but – dude, the SEC is brutal. Like, when you got to go out there and beat the Tennessees, Georgias, Floridas, and all that, it's tough.
Yeah, Shane Beamer's a guy I was really impressed with day one. Of course, anybody can win the press conference and all that type of stuff. This is the first time I've seen him speak live, and he said a lot of great things. I loved his attitude. Obviously, you can tell he's a coach's kid, and obviously he's a good coach in his own right to get where he is today. But you mentioned recruiting, and they have been on a tear lately. 12 commits since June 1st. A couple of those coming at the expense of Tennessee with Karan Prutney and Brian Brubaker. But I was really impressed with Shane Beamer today.
Yeah, I was too. It's funny. I mentioned that to somebody recently. I said, Shane Beamer's doing a good job recruiting. And they said, yeah, but it's a lot of three stars in there. So, you know, hey, we're not hating, we're not discriminating, but it's just one of those things where it's, I mean, you can get your fan base excited, but, man, you need those fours and fives to win games in the SEC. So we'll see. Again, he's laying a foundation. It's almost like, you know, I'd parallel it to a little bit like Ed Ogeron. You know, Coach O, when he took over at LSU, was kind of that CEO role where it was, you know, he didn't get into a whole lot of the X's and O's. Obviously, he's been a D-line coach and all that, but he hires some great coordinators, lets them coordinate, and he does, you know, the recruiting and brings in high-level recruits for those coordinators. And I think Shane Beamer could kind of fit that same mold where, you know, he can be the great recruiter, the rah-rah guy, and, hey, I'm going to have my offensive and defensive coordinator run the show.
Another first-year head coach at his current institution, Josh Heupel of Tennessee, is going to go later, or really this morning. Anything specific you're looking for, Josh Heupel? I know you can't really see anything. All you do is talk. But what are you looking for out of Tennessee here today on a Tuesday?
We know he's a quarterback guru. We want to see him or hear him talk about specifically what he's going to do with these quarterbacks. I mean, you know, I've read three different preview magazines and guides this week, and every one of them's got a different person starting. I mean, it's like, you know, is it Hendon Hooker at this point? You know, we'll see. But, like, it's really interesting to see. But whoever it is, man, they need to maximize that guy and get the most out of him. And I think that's what Vol fans can at least live with. Look, we want to win some games. We understand it's going to be tough, but we got to see that marked improvement. Nothing against Jared Garantano. He is what he was. But, man, if you're losing games, but you're losing them, you know, in a shootout and it's 34-31, like, I think Vol fans would at least be optimistic about that because you'd go, look, we're close. You know, the quarterback play has improved. The offense has improved. And, you know, look, the defense, I think it is what it is with all the pieces you lost. But at least be entertaining. I think that's what Vol fans want.
Another coach coming up here later today is going to be Kirby Smart at Georgia. I, like you, picking Georgia to win the East. And I think it's going to be – I know it's – as Dan Mullen might say, well, I mean, they say it every single year. Georgia's set up to do some dangerous things this year. What do you like about the Bulldogs coming into the season?
I like JT Daniels, obviously. I mean, they were a different team when he took over at quarterback. No disrespect to Stetson Bennett, but he just didn't belong as an SEC quarterback. And so, And they went undefeated and did what they needed to do, took care of business in the bowl game. But, man, I mean, it's put up or shut up time for Kirby. Like, man, how many years are you going to have a top five recruiting class, all the high, all the preseason hype, everybody's excited about you, and you still can't win a title? I mean, this has got to be it. This has got to be the year they at least they get to the playoff minimum, but also win and possibly win a championship. And so I know Vol fans don't want to hear that, but, you know, I think Georgia's got a great shot to win it all this year. But if they don't, does the heat start to get turned up on Kirby? And I don't think they're going to fire him anytime soon. But, man, I think Bulldog fans will be looking around going, look, we've been there, done that before with Mark Richt. Like, we have great teams. We competed, recruited well. But, man, get us to the freaking playoff and let's win a title.
Yeah, I've said it here on this podcast, on a radio show. If not now, then literally when? I mean, again, you hear it every single summer. You know, Dan Mullen said it earlier today. But, like, if not now, with everything you have coming back, defensive starters, a couple of starters on the offensive line, JT Daniels, two really good running backs, even with the injury, your receiver, you still have a couple of receivers and two tight ends that you can do literally anything with. If not now, then is it ever going to happen? So that's kind of a storyline that I have been preaching about Georgia as well. Alabama comes up on Wednesday. You know, Nick Saban usually owns his day. Of course, no fans allowed in the Winfrey this year. It's going to be, as we expect, it's going to be a reload, not a rebuild for Nick Saban this year.
Yeah, the first off, the fans are going to find their way in somehow, some way. There were fans in here today walking up and down the corridor. So, but – the only thing I keep saying, like, look, he's the master. He's done this every year. He finds a way to reload. He loses all these coaches, and he just rebuilds a coaching staff, and it hits. What happens when it doesn't? There's got to be a year. There has to be a time where it doesn't work. Now, you could argue.
Maybe, you keep saying that, though.
Yeah, you could argue maybe that happened 2 years ago when they lost to LSU and they lost to Auburn and they went to the Citrus Bowl.
Bounce right back.
They bounce right back. But there's got to be a year where the new quarterback struggles a little bit. There's got to be a year where the new OC struggles a little bit. Like, and I say this having covered Bill O'Brien a little bit in the NFL, like, he's a hothead. He is a guy, they call him Teapot in New England for a reason. And when he starts butting heads, look, when Lane Kiffin was getting barked at by Saban, he was smart enough to shut up and take it because he knew he was parlaying that into his next gig. I just keep my mouth shut, keep my head down, I'm going to get the next head coaching job. That's what Bill O'Brien's trying to do as the new offensive coordinator at Alabama. But there's going to be a moment. There's going to be a time this year where Saban's screaming at him, and Billy O is going to erupt, I feel like. And what happens when that happens, when he barks back at Saban? So I'm interested to see that. Again, I'm not saying I'm not buying into Bryce Young, but I got to see it. I got to see it. Go out there and prove it, man. Miami is not a schlub in week one. They have a pretty good defense, so, and then Derek King on offense. So I'm not saying Alabama's not going to win the West this year. I'm just saying there's going to be a time where they struggle. Could this be the year?
And again, even relaying it back to Georgia, I've seen Georgia. I've seen those players. I know what it can do, okay? Alabama, I have faith that it will do what it always does, but I haven't seen the core group of players and the new quarterback that everybody fell in love with coming in as a five-star and you sat behind Mac Jones and learned and got a little playing time. So no doubt in my mind that it can happen, but I haven't seen it. I have seen it with Georgia, so that's kind of where my confidence is. All right, last thing, man. Again, we're joined by Sports 790, Chris Gordy. And what else are you looking for this week? I know Ole Miss will be coming up, and you know a lot of people talking about Lane Kiffin and what that offense can do. You've got Eli Drinkwitz coming up and with Brian Harsin on Thursday. What else are you looking forward to here at SEC Media Days?
Well, I hope Brian Harsin at least has a pulse, unlike Gus Malzahn, who would – I would literally watch paint dry. It would be more exciting than listening to Gus Malzahn on SEC Media Days. I mean, my goodness. Some of these coaches, they get up in front of the podium and they just run through their depth chart. And it's like, good Lord.
Jeremy Pruitt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He was another one. But, no, I'm expecting a little bit more excitement from some of these guys. They have a little feed right here on Radio Row that you could plug into. I think I'm just going to turn everything off, turn up the volume when Mike Leach steps in front of the podium because, man, I can literally listen to him read the phone book. Like, Mike Leach is that good. We missed out on him last year at SEC Media Day. So between him and Lane Kiffin, Lane's going to say something. Lane knows exactly what everything's calculated with him. He speaks his mind. I'm looking really forward to seeing what both those guys say this week, the two Mississippi coaches, because Kiffin and Leach, they actually should just do a hybrid, do them together. I think that'd be the most entertaining.
All right, Chris, what's coming on? What's coming up later this week on Locked On SEC? Tons of coverage here, probably a lot of audio, but this is the week to be dialed in your podcast.
Yeah, man, we got some great interviews lined up. We catch up with Coach O. Really fun to talk with him, and you know, his big thing was he missed out on recruiting, you know, being in people's living rooms and getting mom and dad's home cooking. So it was good to catch up with Coach O, talk about that. Joe Tessitore, Marty Smith, a lot of the ESPN personalities we'll have on Locked On SEC. So go check it out, Locked On SEC.
Big thanks to, again, Locked On SEC host Chris Gordy for checking in the podcast, kind of laying the land day one and what's to come here on the week ahead from Hoover, Alabama. Segment number three, we will tie a bow on this show and get you ready for a Wednesday program. But first, Rock Auto. That's rockauto.com. Ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's just simply impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. So why endure the most often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts off their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers, and you have access to rockauto.com at your home and in your pocket. So save time and money when using Rock Auto at rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more when the same parts from the chain store or car dealership, when you can order them from a family-owned business that serves auto parts to customers online for over 20 years, to the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers? The prices are always reliably low for every single customer. So if you need brake parts, you need tail lamps, you need motor oils, or even new carpets, rockauto.com is the place for you. So today I want you to go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car and your truck. And when you're there, write Locked On and the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. All right, a final segment left here on a Tuesday. Locked On Vols, again, previewing you for Tennessee at the SEC Media Days down in Hoover, Alabama. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols. All right, big thank you to Chris Gordy again for stopping by. Hey, if you're ever going to listen to Locked On SEC this week, after you listen to Locked On Vols, this is the week to do just that because, again, he covers all the teams, not just Tennessee. He'll cover Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Arkansas, everybody in the SEC. Give him a listen. He'll have tons of great guests as well as great content. All right, so we talked SEC Media Days. I did open up the floor for Twitter Tuesday to end our show. Got a couple submissions in there after a little late posting on Monday evening. So I want to get these in there for you guys. We have Brian Kamer, who chimed in and said, would you be in favor of realigning and or adding to the SEC, such as trading Mizzou for Auburn and adding them Missouri as our permanent crossover, or bringing in North Carolina, Virginia Tech, or someone along those lines? Realignment, I just feel like it'd be weird. I know that, you know, division realignment happens all the time throughout Major League Baseball and, you know, in college football over the years, of course, not all the time, but I would say no to realignment, even though I get what you're saying there. Missouri and, Missouri playing in the East is a little bit weird. I do get that. But I would be all for adding West Virginia to the SEC. And I would be all for adding Virginia Tech to the SEC. West Virginia would fit right in. I mean, I really, really believe West Virginia would fit right in. So I would be for that, and then I would be for Virginia Tech because I thought the Battle of Bristol was so much fun. It was a one-time thing, and I get that kind of who's going to own the border there in Bristol, but I did like that as well. So that would kind of be my answer to that. Jay Martin and Ramon over at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville want to know, why is Eric Ainge 3 late to everything? Eric Ainge responds, because I give zero. It's intentional. Zero given. Not much there, so I would cover it up with say it's intentional as well, Eric. Matthew Osborne chimes in. How would you change SEC football scheduling? Says, my suggestion, can't even say that word, go to 9 games and give each school 4 conference rivals and then rotate the other 5 onto the schedule every other year. This allows fans and teams to go to each school every 4 years. I think UT's rivals should be Bama, Vandy, Kentucky, and Georgia. I don't hate that idea. I think Tennessee should go to 9 conference games. I think 4 and 4, 4 home, 4 away, and I think 1 should be a neutral site every single year. And I think it'd be pretty neat to where your neutral site could rotate between, you know, one of your East opponents every single year. That would be kind of what I would say to it, because I think neutral site, though, a lot of fans don't like that, and I certainly wouldn't want to do that for the crossover SEC game, because you want to see other fan bases. I think that there's a lot to value with crossover with neutral site games. You can make some money. It's good for recruiting, and I think that'd be a whole lot of fun. So that's what I would do, just kind of off the top of my head. I got one more I'll get into here. And again, this @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols each and every Tuesday for Twitter Tuesday. This one's from Tristan Slagle. You get offered a radio job for the largest Atlanta Braves station in the country. In order to take the job, you have to do one of the following. Beat Mike Eckler in a triathlon. That's not happening. Beat Coach O in a shrimp eating contest. Or beat Nick Saban in a fishing tournament. Well, judging on my appearance and my taste of shrimp, or my love for shrimp, I would probably have to go with beat Coach O in a shrimp eating contest. And also, he's a slim guy too. I didn't just notice it today when I saw him up on the podium. I mean, you see all the pictures of him, the videos of him running around Baton Rouge, and maybe he's doing it for the co-eds. I don't know, but he's looking good right now. So I could maybe out-eat Coach O in a shrimp eating contest. That would be my path to victory. There's no chance I'm beating Mike Eckler in a triathlon. People who go out and run just for fun and run miles and miles and miles, there's something wrong with you, okay? And Mike Eckler's a good dude. I've talked to him many, many times. But he's a bit crazy. You want that in a football coach, I get it. But, you know, anyone that wants to go out and run 12 miles at a time, good luck. You're kind of outside my circle of friends. And then Nick Saban at a fishing tournament. I haven't fished in years. I used to, you know, Jeff County, born and bred. I used to fish all the time. I haven't fished in years. So Saban could probably get me there. But working for, oh gosh, I saw they're down there today. And I was in the Battery this weekend. 680? 680 the Fan? Yeah, that would be freaking awesome. I know some people at 680 the Fan, and they're good people as well. So maybe that'll happen sooner or later. Fingers crossed, that would be a whole lot of fun. So that'll do it here for a Twitter Tuesday again, a late submission on a Monday evening, but I do appreciate you guys getting in some questions. Each and every Tuesday, we're back to 5 days a week. Whatever you guys want to know, obviously, it doesn't have to just be on Tennessee. You can get those in there @_Kaner. Guys, we've checked out Locked On Vols here for today, and now I want you to listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It's featuring analysis from the GOATs of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford of the Odyssey NBA of Odyssey, and NBA experts Brian Schollenbrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, AUDACY. If you listen, you'll hear your boy on one of those talking about a little Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. SEC Media Days, day one in the book. Tennessee comes up this morning along with Kentucky and Georgia and Ole Miss. And so that is the Tuesday slate. We'll break all that down for you on a Wednesday. Also talk with Josh Ward as well coming up on tomorrow's show. That'll do it, guys. Appreciate you hanging out. And don't forget to tune in the rest of the week for more SEC Media Day coverage here on Locked On Vols.